Blog Talk Radio.
Just heard Jeff Major's song 23. God bless you. You are listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. Excuse me. Each week you can hear us at 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, that's 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And on Sundays from 8:30 a.m. to 10 o'clock. Again, that's 8:30 a.m. to 10. Tell your neighbor, tell your friend that the Fivefold Ministry is on the air. You could call 319-527-6036. Again, that's 319-527-6036. God bless you. As you know, we have been examining the book of Samuel, and we've been looking at Samuel, David, and Saul. Again, we make reference to Samuel, David, and Saul. We would like you to get out your Bibles and just listen to our announcements at this particular time. We want to encourage you that as you listen to us, to know that we have different speakers that's on the air. You can hear the our midweek evangelistic service on Wednesday. And you can also hear our Bible teaching on Tuesday. We also have the Wisdom Desk, so the Wisdom Corner, on Thursday. And we have different guest speakers like Minister Michael Gray, who will be coming on next week. So tell your neighbor, tell your friend that we are on the air because we come to exalt, edify, and encourage you in the things of God. And we, again, we want to apologize for our sound system. We were able to speak to our engineers because we want a Friday night concert. I think that's one of the most enjoyable things. I heard from my pastor, Apostle Anthony T. Mays, and he's with World Power Radio and TV. And we was discussing some of the things that we're planning to do in the future. And my pastor said to me, he said that have different callers, especially the young man from Texas, God bless you, that people want my Friday night service to come back. They enjoy the praise and worship. They enjoy the music of Zion, and they like the way that it's put together. So believe me, we are working on it. We spoke to the engineer and the location that we move with our equipment. We're having problems for that. But on the day of Pentecost, when they were all on one accord, that they were able to hear in the spiritual realm, when you have like minds as brethren, when you decide that you want to get something from God, you want to hear from God, you want to understand the knowledge of God, God will reveal it to you. He will reveal it in spirit and truth, and that also your listening ears will pop open that you're able to understand. So we're not going to talk about it no more. We're just saying bear with us. If the music is clear, it's not clear, whatever, just try to listen with spiritual ears so that you can get the full gist of the song. And remember, all rights belong to the artist, that they own rights to their CDs and their music, that we are here to promote those sounds of Zion. So let us get started at this time. And we're going to just start off by having a little bit of prayer. I would like a corporate prayer with each one of you to just bow your heads and pray with me, because we want to hear from the Lord. And we just heard the Simonic Hymn of Psalms 23, so let us say the Lord is my shepherd prayer, Psalms 23. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in a path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Amen. Let us stop right there and just look at that particular prayer. When he said the Lord is my shepherd, you have to recognize that you are a child of the King. You are born in his image. You was created from the dust of the ground. He breathed breath in your body, and he alone is your creator. He's your shepherd. He's your protector. He's your father, and that he is your covering. So you don't have a need to want anything. That even when you go through dangerous places, when you trust God and you pray to God, that God will alert you spiritually to have spiritual eyes and ears to see the danger, be able to understand that you're in a place that may not be in your best interest, and that when we go through this, that we can have peace to know that long as we take God with us. And I would say this to you, beloved, have there been times that you knew that you just felt that something wasn't right, or you looked at particular people and you knew that something wasn't right, or you have been in situations and that the Lord was letting you know that it's danger? When you feel the tugging of the Lord like that, so that you can be ahead of what could happen, that you have to move accordingly, move away from the situation, go in a different direction. But no, your Lord, that he lays out a safe place for you if you will allow him to say, don't go over there, or don't get near that car, don't get near that person. You know, that God will give you peace in the midst of the storm, that he can lead you, he can guide you, and that he can make it so that when you lay your head down at night and that gift of sleep, that is a gift from God, that he will make it so that you have peace, even in those nights that, as God say, that everything is calm, that you have those still waters. You just have to say, God, my mind is on you, and I'm asking you to give me the sleep that you have given as a gift, and that I want you to restore my soul. When you walk in a path of righteousness, when you turn it over to God, when you believe that he sits on the right hand of the Father, and that our Creator sits on the throne, and the angels is all gathered around him, we know that there's heaven that is looking out for us, that people are there for our best interest. And God will send even angels that you wouldn't even know that's an angel, just to lead you on your journey. And believe it or not, it says here, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. When you have the confidence to know that your God is with you, when you have the confidence to know that there is danger ahead, but your God will protect you, that, yes, he will be right there for you, that he will comfort you, he will protect you. God loves you so much that he prepares that table, or he prepares the things that you need ahead of your adversary, ahead of those that wish to do you harm. So many times that you look at people who say that they are for you, they are Christians, or they are, you know, good friends, and that they mean you harm, that they have evil in their heart. It's very sad when you eat at another man's table, but you despise him. You sit in someone's home, but you want to go and talk about him. Or you eat his food, and you talk about it wasn't good anyhow. You know, I was talking one time to my son, and he said, Mommy, it's sad when other people have their own kitchen, have food, have the means to cook their own food, gas and electric, everything they need. But they'll come to your house, burn up your gas and electric, and eat your food. I don't want to step on toes this morning, but it is what it is. So the Lord lets you know who your enemies are, but he comforts you. And in the presence of those people who wish you harm, the God will bless you and turn that situation around for your good. And I was telling the fellowship pastor in Jamaica when I was there, I said to him that, and he opened my eyes, and I was telling him, I said that God anoint our head with oil. And he said, yes, the oil is inside of us. I said, huh? He said, yes, it is. He said, God anoint our head with oil. My cup runneth over. That means the presence of God, the favor of God, the grace of God, the holiness of God, the power of God is all over me, because I have the oil inside of me that once I became a believer and I have accepted Christ and the death, burial, and resurrection, that I have accepted the process that God prepared, that Jesus is his son, my cup runneth over. And when I thought about that, and he would say, I am the oil. I said, you are the oil. He said, I am the oil of God. He said, that means that miracles, signs, and wonders can follow. Good God Almighty. I'll say it again, that the oil runs all over you, and that you have the power, because the oil is inside of you, for miracles, signs, and wonder, and the favor of God. So surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. I believe that when the song was written, that it was a situation where, and David, as we know, wrote most of the songs, that he was dealing with a lot of adversary. He had enemies, and we're going to get in our text today. And that he had to remind himself that he was the favor and elect of God. And I could even take it further than that, that when you are accepted When you have accepted Christ, you are accepted. I say it again. When you have accepted the death, burial, resurrection of Christ, that right then and there, that oil of God covers you. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is all over you. And you have the power. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. That you can dwell with the Lord. Because his oil not only is inside of you, but it's poured all over you because you can identify as his sheep. So I would encourage you, as you get your Bibles out today, we're going to be looking at we're going to look at 1 Samuel 1st, chapter 16, verses 1 through 31 and 13. Again, chapter 16, verses 1 through 31 and 13. And you can read it in its entirety at your own time. And it's the story that we left off last week about Saul and David. I asked the Lord, what did he want me to talk to you all about? And he said, stay there with David. Uh-oh, I say it again. Stay right there. So we're going to stay there. We're going to be obedient to the Lord. Amen. And we're going to play a couple of songs right now. God bless you again as you tune in to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. I'm your host, Apostle Margie Mercer. And let us start out, we're going to start out with one of our prayers, and we're going to play some sermonic hymns as you get ready, as we expound again on the Word of God. Amen. Amen.
Because God is using you without the title. Your anointing is attractive. Your success is exceeding their expectation. See, some people got the title but don't get the recognition. You got the recognition and ain't got the title. Am I talking to anybody in here tonight? That's why your boss don't like you. Ladies, that's why that man don't like you. Because they got the title but don't get the recognition. You get the recognition but ain't got the title. Because when you walked in there, anointing showed up. When you walked in there, you dethroned their power. Power hungry people are people who need you to stay beneath them for them to feel tall. Some of y'all, it's not your job to babysit people's insecurities. Preach Rudolph McKissick. Let me say that one more time. It is not your job to babysit people's insecurities. You are not obligated to slow down so they can meet you at a level they feel comfortable with. Your life is too important to dim just so they can shine. Do you know why some people don't?
Yes, isn't that powerful? And it's so very true that when you look at the story of Samuel and you look at what he wrote about Saul and David, it's so profound. And he started out just what you heard this morning, that there are people in your life that want you to be a step down so they could be a step up. You know, it's one thing when you're with a group of people or you have friends and you all can just have a conversation together, or even when you're with leaders and they're in charge and you all just want to be able to fellowship together. But you always have that one person feel, because God has raised them up, that the sun only shines on them. Uh-oh, I say it again. You'll have that one person that, because of their wealth, because of their looks, because of their position in the family, because of their property, because of their job, because of their success, they believe that the sun only shines on them, and they like to be out in the forefront. If I step on your toes, just an ouch. I'm reading a book about Saul and David. It's up to you to interpret it for yourself. And when I read this particular text, and I'm getting right into it, that I was surprised that Saul had fell in his own vomit. I'll say it again. Many a times we return back to things. We return back to situations. If we hateful, if we mean, if we liars, if we scheme, if we whoremongers, if we disobedient, or if we non-churchgoers. I know I'm hitting now. There are times that we will fall back into those same old habits that God has delivered you from. Saul was elected by God. Saul had the favor of God. And Saul was blessed in everything that he did. But because he wanted to be a crowd pleaser, because he wanted to have the favor of the people, he pretty much, oh, that's all right. Just go ahead and let them take whatever they want. Oh, that's all right. Let them go and do this. Or that's all right. Because those was his posse. You got to look at that. I was looking at the news, and here in the United States, they were talking about a rapper who became very successful. And he allowed his crew or his company or his boys or his entourage or what we say that his party to get close enough to him that they celebrated together. They had parties together. And they did some foul things together. And some of them, as he said, just go ahead and let them go ahead and do what they did. But they caused the light to shine on him. You know, a supervisor can tell you, when you're dealing with management, and if something goes wrong in the shop or something goes wrong with the supplies or something goes wrong with the money, they look at the manager. They don't look at the employee. They don't look at the worker. They look at those supervisors or managers who was in charge of the process and say, what did you do to prevent this from happening? That was the same situation with Samuel. Saul. Saul had got caught up with his friends, with his buddies, with his those that worship him and admire him. He became a participant. And he did not obey God. You know, it's one thing to say, God, I accept salvation. God, I want to believe in your son. I accept the death, burial, and resurrection. Or even to get baptized. You have said all of this confession out your mouth, and you tried it for a while. But then you go right back to those old ways, or what we say, you go back to your vomit. There are some animals that will eat food, vomit it out, and eat it again. I'll say it again. If you look at some dogs will vomit their food out. After they eat it, they'll vomit and re-eat it. And a lot of people will go back to that same way. God will take you out some things, and you will put yourself right back in that situation and want God to have mercy on your soul. And you just got delivered from it. You just repented from it. But sometimes you get caught up. Excuse me. In Saul's situation, he wanted the love, the favor, the attention of people. Samuel, a prophet of God, was sent by God to talk to those that he had anointed or he had called out or he had blessed. Have you ever had that one particular person in your little group to say, you know God don't like that, or have that grandma say, you know we taught you better, or have your father to say, boy, you're going to get yourself in trouble. God will use those person's mouth as a mouthpiece to talk to you before you go down that road of destruction or whatever it could be. So Samuel was sent almost like a bishop over a particular church or ministry to do an examination. He had a conversation with Saul and said, well, what did God tell you to do? When you saved, there's some things that you should do. Besides accept the death, burial, resurrection, there is a lifestyle that you should live. There is a conscience that you should have what comes out of your mouth. And there's a character that you should carry yourself. And the sad thing about this is that Samuel went to Saul and said, tell me, give me a report. It's time for you to report into the headship. Since you've been given this particular thing or you've been given this particular ministry, what have you done with it? And, of course, Saul made an excuse. Saul tried to play it off. He tried to say, well, God knows my heart. God knows that we're human. You know how we come up with all of those type of excuses when we're caught in the middle of some of our hands are dirty. I'm only human. I'm only a man. I'm only a woman. God knew that when he made you. Uh-oh, I say it again. Don't you know God know what you are? Because he did make you. He put breath in your body. So he know what you're capable of. So giving him excuses, that wasn't the best thing to do for Saul, because then he started lying in his excuses. Sometimes people will put it on somebody else. You ever see a child? They will get in a fight. And a child may snatch a ball, the other child will snatch it back. The parent will say, what's going on? The one who started everything said, he took the ball from me. He did it. But yet he was a participant. They was taking the ball back and forth. Rather than say, mommy, we fighting over this ball. Or we have a disagreement. We'll say, he did this or she did this. It reminds me of the story of Adam and Eve. Do you remember the story? When God went to Adam, he said, Adam, where art thou? And the first thing that came out of Adam's mouth, the woman that you have given me caused me to eat. I'm just saying it in my own words. The fruit from the tree. Now, right away, he asked where he was. He could say, I'm here, Lord. How's everything? Everything fine? Right away, he went into making an excuse that because of what you did, God, who you sent in my life, that I sinned. Uh-oh. It's quick that we like to point the finger at somebody else. I was always taught that what's on the inside is going to come out on the outside. You hear a lot of people sometime, you know, and if I step on your toes, say, I'll just say personal, this is the truth. I've been in churches 30 years, and I talked to different ones, and I said, so how's everything in the church? I don't like the church. I said, why? Because pastor won't use me. And I say to the young man that I know, and I said to him, I said, okay, you go to this particular denomination. Do you fellowship with other leaders that go to the organization? No. Do you volunteer to do more than what you're supposed to do as one of the leaders? No. Do you go out your way to do X, Y, Z? No, I don't have time. I said, okay. So maybe that's why the pastor not using you, because you don't have time. I have seen young ladies, they don't let me sing on the choir. I can't sing the solo. They always let a Betty Lou do it. I said, well, let me ask you a question. Do you sing real long in the song? Do you take forever to end the song? Do you follow the conductor or the one that's in charge of the music? I said, do you take it upon yourself to go in a different direction when the musicians are playing, say, the C note, but you over there in the clef E note? I said, let me ask you something. Do you get hard-headed and disobedient, or you want to do your own thing? Sometimes you are not chosen for a task. One, because you make a lot of excuses why you can't do it. Two, because you do things in your own direction. Three, there are those that's going to lie about it. And four, some don't want to do it. They don't have no joy. God will use people that want to do a job, just like being hired on a job. The boss know if you're a good worker or not. He know if you really want the job or not. If you're complaining before, when you come in, you frowning your face up, you really don't want to do it, you arguing with your coworkers. Uh-oh, if I step on your toes, say, ouch. You rolling your eyes, you talking about the job. If you don't like something, leave. Don't tear down the boss. Tear down the job. Don't tear down the church. Don't tear down the pastor. Maybe it's time that this is happening because you need to go in a different direction. There are times that you can outgrow things. You know, I'll say it again. You can drink milk in the beginning as a child, but when you get older, you should be able to digest meat. If you get to the point where you're choking on meat, you don't understand the meat, you fussing about the meat, you complaining about the meat, then maybe you should have meat in your diet. Stop blaming everybody else for your problems when it's you. I'll say it again. The Bible says shake the dust off your feet. If you're somewhere that you feel the job is not receiving, you apply for another job. If you at a church that you feel as though that your gifts are not being used, I would suggest first you have an appointment to talk to the pastor to see if things are going to change. And in that conversation, or if you do decide to go in that direction, it's not what you like, then change church. If you feel you work for organizations that's not right in your best interest, that's not flowing in a certain direction, don't talk about them, then go to another organization. You know, stop making excuses. Stop being a Saul. You know, it's the people. Well, you know we wanted some for ourselves. You know how they are. They children. You know how children act. I don't care. Be in control and in charge of what God has given you to do. I'll get another example. You're a mother with a child. You take your child to church, baby howling and screaming. You refuse to get up off your butt and take that child down in the nursery or in another room, in the overflow room, in daycare, wherever. It could be outside because you want to sit there and tell the child to be quiet or pat it. People can't hear the preach word of God because you're being lazy. You don't want to get up. I'll say it again. What's the reason that you won't take your child out to church hollering and screaming? Do you want to show the outfit that they have on? Or you think they look cute? Or you're not in control of this baby? Respect the man of God. Respect the church of God. When you go to a church, you should go humble. You should go excited. You should go with expectation as well as participation. You should be a part of what's going on in the service with glad tidings. Raise your hand. Sing the songs of Zion. And be obedient and be nice to your neighbors, especially in the church. You should not be a disruptant. That means that you shouldn't disrupt the service. If you have a child, are you not the mother, the grandmother? Can you not teach a little baby when you walk in the house of the Lord, be quiet? My grandkids will tell you, people, I've been in ministry 30 years. I've lost a lot of friends. Excuse me, can you keep the baby quiet? Or I'll get up and move to another seat, and they'll roll their eyes at me because I don't want to sit there and hear the baby howling and screaming and passing the baby up and down in the sanctuary, everybody trying to get it quiet. You know, and I said, just take it downstairs. Take the little baby. It's a baby. No, for whatever reason, go ahead, disrupt the word of God. Have the baby screaming while they're trying to make a tape or a CD. Go ahead. And the first excuse you hear, they just a baby. They don't know no better. That's right. But you know better. Uh-oh, I know I'm hitting hard today. Well, that's the same thing with Saul. Saul knew better. Saul knew what God told him to do. He said, Saul, you have enemies. Get rid of them. God tell us that you have people that's not in your best interest, that's not looking out for you, that's not looking out for your family, that's not looking out for your church growth, that's not looking out for your leadership or even your title. Get rid of it. Leave it alone. Dismiss it. Saul wouldn't do it because he wanted the praise and he wanted the recognition. And he just kept making excuses. God don't like excuses, I'm telling you. He hears you. But believe me, he has something in mind. And when you look at 1 Samuel 15 and 13, if you're wondering where I'm coming from, it says right there, when Samuel reached Saul, Saul said, "The Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions." No, you didn't. Did he tell you to take a crying baby to church? Did he tell you to take a cell phone to church? Did he tell you to chew that gum in church? Did he tell you to talk to your friends at the back of the church? Did he tell you to disrupt what the pastor said? Did he tell you talk about the pastor? Did he tell you talk about how the church is or is not running properly? No. If I step on your toes, say ouch. I have seen people for 30 years will sit at another man's table, talk about his food, and still come back and take another plate. Why even take plates at all? Certain churches are not meant for certain people. Certain leaders are not meant for certain people. I learned from my godmother, Overseer Carolyn Watson, and she was Pentecostal Jerusalem. And she said, "Baby, some people come to tilt the land or tear up the land. There's others that come to plant in the land. And there are those that come to water the land. There are seasons in your life that if your life is shifting to another direction or if God opened a door for you to go in another direction, if you want to be used by God, you got to follow the shift." I tell a lot of people, you can't ride on my coattail, because if I do radio or TV or if I go around the world through invitation, don't follow me to do radio or TV, go around the world. See what God has for you. He may have a different direction for you to go. Don't follow what Margie Mercer's doing. Follow what God has given you to do. And don't try to just ride along, because you know what's going to happen? You're not going to communicate. There's going to be difference of opinion. You're not going to understand why I'm flowing in the direction that I am, because you got to look at it. This is the assignment that God has given me. So the instructions is coming to me. The vision is coming to me. The direction is coming to me. It's not coming to you because God did not give it to you. There are times that you are put at certain places just for growth. Then you go to the next level of elementary school, of middle school, to high school, and to college. It's a, when you grow, your anointing and your position in life with God grows as well. Saul stagnated himself when he lied about what he had did for God. He stagnated himself when he made an excuse. You know, I would tell them not to do it, but you know how people are. Well, you know, I wouldn't go over there, but you know, that's my daddy cousin. Well, I wouldn't have anything to do with her, you know, but I'm married to her sister. I'm saying it now. Well, you know, I wouldn't even go over that place over there, but, you know, they need some help. I'm talking to what I've seen in 30 years in ministry. This ain't dealing with nobody personal. If it does, just say ouch. I have seen people in ministry that I ask them, why do you go over there when you fuss or you argue? You know people don't like you. You don't like them. You could be friendly by not even visiting and say, God bless you when you see him. But if you go somewhere, it's going to be arguments, it's going to be talking. You know God don't want you to be gossiping. God don't want you to backstab. You know, if you don't like the food, don't go and eat it. Go to a restaurant. Go somewhere else. Cook your own. I'm trying to help you, beloved. God told me to stay with David, and I said this morning, I said, woo, you may not want to receive it. There's one soul that will. This hopefully is being aired all around the world, that somebody is going to get it because they want to get the blessing and favor from God. If you want to be elevated in God, then you got to follow the directions that God has given you. If you don't understand the direction, he will send somebody to say, you know, I see this happening in your life, and since you don't have a covering at this time, I want you to do X, Y, and Z. And you have to be obedient to follow along like Elijah and Elisha. The prophet followed another prophet, and he was submissive and obedient. So when he went on with the Lord, he was able to carry out the work. When you are a child and you obey your parents and you're getting good direction, when they go on with their life or die or go on to heaven or wherever, that you're able to be your own grown-up, your own parent, and raise your children accordingly to what you've learned or what you would like to have happen in your family. You never stay like a bump on a log and sit there and murmur and complain. The Bible said if they don't receive you, shake the dust from your feet because it's not doing you no good. It's not doing the people you with no good. It's not doing the leadership no good. It's like a broken record. That's what Saul did. Samuel told him clearly, you had instructions. God told you to leave your enemies. God told you to get rid of those that was your enemies. What that means is that people don't like you, people that don't want to be bothered with you, people that want to see the demise come to you, people that will undermine you. We're talking about these Amalekites now. It's right in the Bible. Look at it for yourself. Or people that could would destroy you. There are people that are around people that hate your guts. So why are you around them? You could pray for them. You could wish them well. You could forgive them. Shake the dust off your feet. You will have peace in still waters because you've forgiven them, you did right, and you left out, say it's time for you to go in a different direction. Saul didn't do that. He took what he wanted from him. He took the fat calves and he took whatever jewelry or whatever they had, the spoils of the war. He even kept one of the people near him that God definitely would want that leader to leave him alone. And he destroyed the rest. How are you going to eat a piece of pie and then don't go ahead and eat the whole pie and it's molded? You're either going to eat the whole thing so it don't turn rotten or get molded, or you just go ahead and throw it away. Saul said, I'm going to keep this for myself. It's sad. I have seen leaders stay in somebody's church because the church was huge and beautiful, and they loved the church because it was a big church. They didn't want to, they was lazy. Uh-oh, I step on toes. They didn't want to start over. I've seen people stay at somebody's church because there was a lot of people, it was a crowd. They wanted to be in the in crowd. I've seen people sit right there and be a part of a fellowship, hating the person that was the president or in charge of it, or didn't want to be around the good old boys because they ain't saying nothing. If you don't go to the meetings, how you know they're not saying nothing? I'm a member of the Baptist Conference, and I knew how they some of them felt about women. But I went there. I went there to hear what was going on. They talked about my community. They knew what was happening in my fellowship. Plus, I knew about things that was happening around the state of Maryland. There are some good news. So if you're going to be a part of an organization, you need to go. You need to check out the calendar. You need to be there when they vote. If you don't like, hey, I don't know what he's talking about, then vote for somebody else. And you need to be a part. Some people get their little title, or they get ordained or whatever they get, or they become a member of an organization. Once they become a member, you don't see them no more. All they wanted was to become a member. They was happy when it was happening. I've seen people that would show up almost before the doors open up because it was something they wanted. They was manipulators. Soon as they got their ordination, as soon as they got their crowd, as soon as they had their opportunity, you didn't hear from them no more. You didn't see them no more. They may did one or two more meetings. After that, years went by. You never heard from them. It is time for you, if you want the best from God, you got to give your best. It's not me, beloved. Read it for yourself. Saul was still on the throne. However, because he didn't have the energy, he didn't have the drive, he didn't have the fight, he didn't have the tenacity, he was being lazy, that he just laid back and just went along with the crowd, just going along. God needed somebody that was brave, that was energetic, that wasn't sitting on his butt. Somebody that would go out and venture, somebody that would fight, somebody that was trying to go higher in God, somebody that would be obedient. And that Saul was told by God, go get that little shepherd boy. Can you believe that? God found a little young person Uh-oh, I'm going there, baby. I'm going there, beloved. Hold on. Don't hang up the phone. God will find someone else to replace you because you are sitting down. You're talking about everything. You're not doing it. You're not trying to be a part of anything that's going on. You're not trying to raise yourself up to the mark, and you're just running your mouth. God will use a young person. I remember when my pastor told me, God bless him, and I give him recognition today, Apostle Bishop Cornelius Showell of First Apostolic Faith Church and Bible Way Conference around the world. He said, Sister Mercer, you know why people have a problem with you? I said, no, sir. He said, because you represent the young folks. Y'all coming in, you want to preach. Y'all coming in, you want to pray. Y'all coming into the church, you want to sing. If we actually go to the nursing home or prison, you want to go. He said, I have had people sit around for 20, 25 years complaining about the food being served, complaining about what I'm spending money on for the church, complaining about the other members in the church, complaining about me, the pastor, and have been here and have not really done nothing, come to the church or pay their tithes or whatever. He said, but you all are trying to build the vision that God has given me. Who you think God going to use? Can you go down to the nursing home? No problem. Can you go down to the prison? No problem. Can you perform services or marry and bury? No problem. Can you preach and teach the word of God? No problem. Can you go on radio and TV? Well, I don't speak that well or speak good English, but no problem. God will use the person that says, no problem. Well, you know I got to work, but can you find time for God? He the one gave you the job. If you get a heart attack or a stroke, you can't go to work then. You better give God some of your time. Uh-oh, I know I'm hidden. Well, you know I really don't have time. I'm old now. Well, if you old and you tired, then get out the way and let God use the young people who's not tired and old, or who have a job that they don't have time for God. I remember it says that, what, 6 days we work, 7 days we rest. So you can't go to the prison on the seventh day, the nursing home on the seventh day. You cannot sing a choir or go to a meeting on the seventh day, or you cannot do anything. You're supposed to sleep and rest. But that's not work when you're spreading the good news of God and encouraging people who are also resting, God forbid. I'm saying all of this, beloved, because I don't want you to miss out on your opportunity. You know, one thing I love about reading about Paul and Elisha and Elijah, their time was winding down. They wanted to pass the baton. There's so many times in this ministry with myself, I have tried to pass the baton. I said, you know, I'm getting old now. I can't go around the world like I used to, but let me give you instructions. They're excited. They want to go and have a vacation. They want to go to Jamaica to have a vacation, but when I said go over there and check on a pastor, do X, Y, Z, they didn't want to do that because that's work. Or I would say, you know, I'm getting older now. I'd like you to do radio and TV. They love the idea. But they didn't want to follow that. I don't want to be a part of this ministry to do it. Well, somebody got to guide you and make sure you don't go out there and say the wrong thing or hurt yourself or your own family or the ministry. They didn't want to be under what they say obedience. Or I would say to them, why don't you join this organization? It's good for you. Well, I'm going to join it because you're a part of it. Yeah, but they expect you to come to the meeting once a week and pay your yearly dues. Well, I don't do all of that. So don't do it because I did it. You got to get up, beloved, and listen to the instruction of those that God has sent you. You go to the church, you fellowship, you worship together, and then God will drop things in your spirit. How many times he got to tug at you? You know, God been telling me, well, this been coming to my mind. Well, this been tugging at me. And I have heard people say this for 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. And when I look back at all those people in my 30 years of ministry that I tried to help them go to the next level because I knew that, look, I'm getting older and my time is winding up.
They still at the same point. They still at the same church complaining. Some of them have been on the radio, TV, and have dropped off and now have a desire. Some of them still talking about their leader, the pastor. Some of them are still going from pillar to post. And they could have had the chance of opportunity when it presented to them. It's just like a supervisor say to you, you know, would you like to be a supervisor? I have a job to be a manager. No, I don't want to do it. But then you're going to sit there and complain about how things are running a company. If you don't want to do it, then somebody else will. And don't get mad. They're young, or that's a nephew, or that's a cousin. Well, that's why they chose them. No, because yourself, I won't call no names, but yourself decided that you didn't want to do it. You had every excuse in the world, so it passed you by. When we look at the 16th chapter of Samuel 1 through 31, Saul was still on the throne that God had given him. He's not an Indian giver. However, God told Samuel, go and anoint David. Here, this little young little guy, he's brave enough to go through doors. He's brave enough to open his mouth. He's brave enough to fight those things that's contrary to the word of God. And he will go all the way. He's a man after my own heart. Plus, he'll pray and read scriptures. He wasn't a crowd pleaser. He didn't try to get claps from everybody. He didn't care about if they heard him or they didn't hear him. He was out there in the wilderness. Can you imagine? Nobody can hear you sing out there in the wilderness or the woods. Nobody can hear you play the harp. You out there in the wilderness or woods. He wasn't trying to have a stage for himself. He wasn't trying to be seen. God liked that. He was like, wow, he's really good on this harp. And he's praying to me. He ain't worried about a crowd. Well, you know, they can't hear me. I heard one guy say, they can't see me on TV because the cameras wasn't that right. Who care about seeing you on TV? Did they hear the message? They ain't got to see you. Well, you know, they really can't hear me on the radio because, you know, it wasn't clear. Well, at least you did what you're supposed to do. That's up to the Lord to fix the electrical system. I've been fighting for a whole year with this electronics, but I'm still teaching and preaching the gospel. It don't mean I'm any perfect, but I'm not giving up because, oh, they can't hear me. They can't see me. I was so pleased yesterday when my pastor called me, and he said that people are asking you to come back on to TV, and they want to hear your radio program. They love that Friday night. My pastor took it a higher. He said, well, you can pay for the bill, so she ain't got to pay for it. And to my surprise, they considering it. So, see, other people see the good that you're trying to do. God will send you helpers. So when God has someone that don't mind stepping up to the plate, like David, David was out there tending those sheep. He was rejected by his brother. He was looked down because he wasn't a big I and big U. He probably didn't wear the clothes that he wore. He didn't have the chariots or cars that they have. That's what I call it. That he wasn't favored or had the popularity. Probably, look, didn't have the pretty wife or the family influence. He wasn't a big boy, but God used him. God used him with his little smelly, dirty, funky little self out there with the sheep because he was learning how to be a leader, a pastor, a governor of what God has given him. And he was fighting anything that would come up to destroy his assignment. He was even, I'm getting ready to wrap this up, he would even fight Goliath, somebody bigger than him, more talented than him, probably had more gold and money and houses than him, and was very more popular. But David didn't care. David was like, you know, that if this person here is going to cause problems for the body of Christ and for my leader, then it's on. We're going to have to fight. And even Goliath laughed at him when he saw this little scrawny little thing. Let me tell you something. Don't underestimate the size. Don't underestimate because I'm a female that I don't know the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, I was very shocked. I heard this man running his mouth, turn up what we have established for hundreds and hundreds of years about the body of Christ, about the Bible. This man said there was no modern-day apostles. However, when that ordination came up, now he's an apostle. I said, wait a minute. Isn't this the same Geno Jenkins person that said there's no apostles, but now he's Apostle Geno Jenkins? I said, he just talked about 2 months, there's no modern-day prophets, no modern-day apostles. What happened? Somebody gave it to him. Oh, the rules didn't apply then. I would tell him to his face, he need to stop tearing down the body of Christ and the word of God. Goliath wanted to destroy everything that God had put in place. The Saul, the rules, everything that God had put in place. It was a little David who didn't talk about Saul. He didn't talk about his leadership. He didn't talk about he's sick of being there. He came as a blessing. And I want you to write this down. Some of you are messing up your own blessing. Warning. Warning, warning, I say it again, warning. God is sending people to you to be a blessing. Some of your businesses are going down. God will send you somebody with some ideas to help build up that business. Open up your heart. Stop being so paranoid or think somebody going to take over your company. And listen, everything is in your name, so what you worried about? God will send people to your church that know how to organize and manage and do things. You need to open up your heart. They're going to take the church from me. How can they take the church from you if the deed is in your name or you're the pastor or you got papers to show in corporation that you're it? And if you don't get it, it's very sad when God sent a blessing and said, look, and I thank God for this one particular young man, and I'll say his name, Minister Michael Gray. He told me time and time again that different leaders have come in and left the church, I guess because maybe the money is not right. I don't know. Maybe that it could be, for whatever reason, a long distance. I don't know. Whatever reason, different ones have come in to pastor his church, and they have left out. And it's very important that if you're a leader, that you should go and volunteer and help out because the sheep could scatter. When you don't have a pastor for a long time or it's not consistent, The people will start coming. They don't have good leadership. They like sheep. They don't have guidance. It'll go down or it could close. Not God's house, God forbid. But this one little young man, he preaches whatever he can. He attends as much as he can, and he pushes his family to go as best as he can. And I'm hoping that someone will come over to lend a hand to the church so that the sheep don't get scattered, that someone would come over and just encourage him, the little David that God is going to use in the years to come, because I'm not able to. I'm in a different state. So I'm hoping that you all will keep Minister Gray in prayer because I see him as a little David that God is going to use him for the young people. How I know it to be so, I have saw a young man that worked at NAACP, and nobody could encourage him. His father was a bishop. His family was way out there. His friends was well-known around the country. And they couldn't get him to preach. And I didn't know none of this. And one day I was talking to him about having a young people ministry and youth ministry. And it excited him. He got the idea. And he said, okay, I think I'm going to do this. My family been pushing me to do it, and I know the Lord been tugging at me. And the first sermon that he had, he had over 17,000 to 20,000 people show up at a baseball stadium to just hear him do a trial sermon. I was amazed of how many people was drawn to this young man's ministry. The thing grew so big, his ministry as well as a church in Baltimore, one of the biggest churches in Baltimore that he's in, I think Atlanta, Georgia now, I'm not really sure. But all it took was just encouragement and prayer of leaders and elders. So David was sent as a blessing to help Saul. He was anointed by Samuel to say that God is sending you, and he was a comfort. When you have a blessing that's being sent to you to pray for you, to encourage you, to push you, don't take it for granted. Because God could be sending a Samuel in your life to take you to the next level. You can stay where you are and murmur and complain. That's where you'll be 5, 10, 15 years from now. Or you can go ahead and say, God, here am I. Use me. David said, God, hear my, use me. And he went all the way up to be the king. And it was said that Saul got jealous of him. He tried to kill him, all because he got popular. Isn't that pitiful? Here you get jealous of somebody because they become popular. Well, what did you do? Well, they popular. Well, did you go to some of the same places or join the same organizations or club? Did you push it like they did to maybe write that book or pastor that church or get on radio or TV? What did you do so you could be popular? Saul became jealous of David because his homeboys or his crowd was looking at David and not him. That means he had false friends in the beginning. He didn't have people that cared about him in the beginning. Don't be a Saul. That's my title today to the message. Do not be a Saul. God will pass you by and use someone else who's ready to go ahead and gather those sheets, ready to go ahead and carry that baton, and is ready to be obedient. If you don't do it, he'll send somebody else. I've been working with Minister Gray for a year and a half. I don't care what I ask him to do. He be on his job. He will step outside. I said, I need help on the radio. He will stand out in the parking lot and preach just because I need help that day. Or if I would call him and say, you know, I'm not feeling well. Can you do it? In the middle of anything, he said, wait a minute. Let me go out in the hall right now. So he's about being about his father's business. Nobody is perfect. We all fall short. But one thing I can say about it is that he has a willing heart to obey the things of God and the headship of God. Beloved, God said that David was a man after his own heart because he loved the Lord. And I want to say this before I attempt to do this last part of my show here. I never knew that I loved music. And I always did praise and worship music. That's really how I flow in my ministry as a prophet. And the Lord said to me, there are those that's out there that need to be soothed like Saul, that has they restless in their soul, that there are some things going on in their life. They busy critiquing and judging. That there are those that need to hear some music sometime to calm that mind down, to calm that spirit down, to calm that soul down. When you give God praise and worship, there is peace in the midst of the storm. So we're going to try to play some of this music today. I'm going to do the best I can because I'm not giving up. The devil is a liar. I did everything I could. I had an engineer at my house on Saturday, and I asked him, I said, what is the problem that I'm going through with this music here? And he said to me, he checked everything. Everything was fine. They don't understand. When I talked to my dad about it, he was telling me that he might have to bring in some harder equipment that can handle maybe the area that I'm in. So do keep the fivefold ministry in prayer and keep myself in prayer because one of the things, like I thought, that I really need y'all to intercede in prayer because we're struggling with our music, and I love our music. So God bless you again. Remember now, we're on the air Monday through Fridays, 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock p.m. Call 319-527-6036. Give that number to a friend because we're trying to reach everyone. I had that same number for 4 years. Thank you all for listening, for the ones who have, and you've been faithful. Thank you so much. Just walk up right before God. Be a person after God's own heart. Give it your best. Look at yourself in the mirror and say, God, help me to be a better person. I don't like this or I don't like that about myself. And pray. Don't lay back and be a murmurer and complain, but be a doer so God can take you to the next level. Apostle Mercer not going to always be around, so we need some more leaders to really raise up and get rid of that foolishness and stuff. You know, stop trying to critique. Read the Bible for yourself. Do better than me on radio or TV, you know. And it's sad, and I'll say this as a caution, the way another person blessing. Don't do that. You can't do it. What God has given for that person is for them. Don't try to piggyback off of them. Don't try to ride them. Don't try to Use the ministry for you, for your good. It's not theirs. It belongs to God. You will be in contempt. The reason I said that, I tell a lot of people, have your own work in God. Don't try to piggyback off somebody else's work in God because you'll get in trouble. So let's go ahead and let's enjoy a little bit of worship at the very end. God bless you again. You can Minister Gray will be on next Sunday. Keep him in prayer from 8:30 to 9. Awesome young man. And we're going to listen to Bishop Walter. What is Bishop? Oh, okay, Bishop Walter. And also Stephanie Bolton and our own Bishop G.E. Patterson. I love them. Yep, this is our apostolic music right now. God bless you again. Amen. Amen.
It keeps setting my soul on fire. Whatever it is, whatever it is, whatever it is, whatever it is, don't have me.
Death, burial, and resurrection, you can truly sit back and say, what is this? I'm telling you, it is so beautiful to praise and worship God, and hopefully you could worship along with us. You know, I miss having people that can sit back and just sing those beautiful songs and melody of God. Yes, and another one of my favorite tunes that with Jason Nelson, he's another favorite artist of mine. And let us listen to Forever. Amen. Forever in the day, God will love you, beloved. Amen. I'm still here. Amen. I'm determined. I'm determined if I got to tear out a whole wall and put in a new sound system, I am going to be able to play my concerts. Amen, amen. So let us listen to Jason Nelson and Forever. And he's also, by the way, a native of Baltimore, Maryland. And you may know his brother, Jonathan Nelson. Amen.
But God loves you that long.
I'll be committed to you. I'll never leave you. Nothing in this world to make me walk away. No matter what you face, you won't be lonely. Because forever is a long time. That's how long I'll love you. That's how long I'll love you. Forever. Forever is a long time. That's how long.
Forever is a long time, and that's how much I love God. And he said that I'm going to continue to give him the praise. Yes. You know, and I want to look at the lyrics, what it says. It says, God says, I'll be committed to you. I'll never leave you. Nothing in this world could make me walk away. No matter what life may bring, I'll be by your side. No matter what you face, you won't be lonely. Good God Almighty. Let us read a little bit more. Because forever is a long time. That's how long I love you. That's how long I love you forever. You hear this prophet writing what God said? Listen. Forever is a long time. That's how long I love you. That's how long I'll love you forever. No matter what life may bring, I'll be by your side. No matter what you face, you won't be lonely. And this is my promise to you. My love is everlasting. You can count on me to be there always. You know why? Because forever is a long time. You know, I think it's so very important that somebody needs to know that God loves you forever and that his love never fades and that the last shall be first and the first shall be last. That God wants to bless you, to elevate you, and to put you in a position of favor. But you got to trust him, believe him, and follow direction and guidings. He give good leaders. He gave good instructors, and he also used the Holy Spirit to give you unction, something to come to your mind, your heart, or spirit, that a change is necessary. But it is up to you to stop complaining, stop murmuring, stop finding fault. If you think you can do a job better, then do it yourself and get up and do it. But don't sit back and eat from another man's table and talk about him. Or talk about another person's ministry, and you're not doing stuff yourself. You're just sitting there. It's more than tithes and offering. It's more than showing up on Sunday. It's more than having a baby cry in the sanctuary. It's more than you sitting talking at the back of the church to your friends. It's more than all of that. It's about giving God the praise, giving God the worship, and love him unconditionally in your heart. You know, some of you are conditional Christians. Uh-oh, I say it again. You don't have to look a certain way or smell a certain way or dress a certain way or be of a certain culture or group of people to be a friend of mine. that we are all children in the body of Christ, and we should love people unconditionally. Just try the spirit with the spirit. Some people don't even want to be your friend unless you talk, look, or act a certain way. God forbid. Well, beloved, you've heard from the Fivefold Ministry. I'm your host, Apostle Margie Mercer. I want to close out with prayer. Always, I love to pray and praise and worship God. But I hope you got something out of this message today, that when God sent a blessing in your life, do the best that you can do. Receive them in love. They may be an angel in disguise. Don't talk about them. Don't stab them in the back. Don't try to undermine what God has sent to you. Many of you lose out on your blessing. Once they're gone, they're gone. God says, shake the dust off your feet. So when a person come in peace, they come in love, they come to do what God told them to do, receive it. Receive it with respect and with honor, not nastiness or evilness, but receive it as a blessing and see what God has for you. Do you see how special you are for God to send a David to you? How special you are, I say it again, for God to send a David to you, because God has poured out all on David's head to be a blessing to you. And we want to be a blessing here at the Fivefold Ministry, to encourage you, to inspire you, to exalt you. And you might get a little spank, but that's to elevate your mind of thinking. Amen? Amen. So let us get together for corporate prayer. Let us all be on one accord. And, you know, as I always say, worry about the things that God got for you. You don't even have to worry. Just open up your heart and trust God. Say, God, here am I, use me. Keep your eyes on the prize that God got for you. God will send you the help. He will send you the instructions. He will send you the direction. He will send you the covering. Amen. Amen. Well, let us go into our prayer. Let us start with our Father prayer first. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Heavenly Father, first we want to come humbly and to repent if there is anything that's not pleasing in your sight over us. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us of our sins, of our words, thoughts, and deeds, of our shortcoming. Help us, starting from today, to walk upright before you. Father, as you sit high and you look low, send out your mercy. Send out your grace. Oh, God, send out your angels. Help us to receive the oil that you have poured over us, that we can be saved, we can be sanctified, and we can be delivered. God, help us, please, through your Holy Spirit, so you can be glorified, so you can be honored, so that your kingdom in heaven as well as in earth will, Father, do according to your will. Father, each and every day, help us to see ourselves, even in the mirror, the type of person that we are. Help us to repent daily. Help us to show love one to another. Help us to open up our heart in love and forgiveness. First, we need to forgive ourselves, and we need to repent how we have treated others or said things out of our mouth or did things or even with our mouth tore down the very elect and people of God. Forgive us, God. Help us to realize that you are God alone. We have no right to judge, to tear down, to critique, or to destroy a person before us that comes in peace, and we try to destroy their character, their image, and the very life or ministry that you have given them when we ourselves are not doing no better. God, help us to be a lover of what's right, not a judge of God, to tear down. You alone are the judge.
God, we pray for those that's disrupting the body of Christ, that's destroying the word of God, that's talking about pastors and leaders and women preachers and all of those that you have sent to be a blessing. We thank you that you have sent your son Jesus to be a blessing to us. We receive him in love, respect, and honor, and we accept that he is the Son of God. Father, help us to repent as we accept the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Save us so that we can better our lives and save our souls. Father, we want eternal life. Help us to love one another unconditionally. Help us to see ourselves so we can be better, that we can judge a man, as Dr. Martin Luther King once said, by his character, not by the color of his skin, his eye color, his hair, his clothes, his body shape, or what nationality he belongs to, but by the character of him as a human being that want to do right and talk right and live right and be in brotherhood and fellowship together. Father, help us not to be led into temptation. Help us, God, that we don't go out the will of God, and we don't keep going back to our vomit, to the same things that you have delivered us from. Help us to walk upright. So, Father, on the day of judgment, you can say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Please deliver us from evil, wickedness, and high places. Father, we pray for our leaders who governs our countries, who governs the laws as well as those things that can give us those jobs or the food or the shelter that we need. God, we're asking that you give them a mind to do what is right according to the leadership and responsibility that you have given them. But God, we thank you through the midst of all of that. We know that you protect us. We know that you daily feed us. We know that you clothe us. And we know that you got us in our right mind. We thank you for all those blessings that you have given us that we don't even deserve. God, help us again that we will walk upright. And God, I pray especially for those listeners who want to serve you, who want to be a David, who want to be risen up to the occasion of leadership, the God, that you will bless them to be encouraged, that they will give them leaders to show them the way, like Paul when he anointed Timothy. Father, that they'll be able to get instructions. Help them to be obedient and submissive to the call that's on their lives and want to do according to the gospel of Jesus Christ, not knowing. Stop trying to be ahead of the leader or the instructions of the Samuel that you are sending in their lives. God, we pray for all of those that you are using, men, women, and children alike, that you alone are the final judge and say. And we pray for those leaders on the TV that's turned down the body of Christ and disrupting everything that was put together for the gospel. And God, we ask that you bind up the hand of the adversary. We rebuke him, send him back to the pit of hell, and we take authority and dominion, not only of ourselves, but over the earth that you have given us. God, we pray for the fivefold ministry broadcast. We pray for Apostle Mercer and all of those, that's the speakers that come on through the week, to give him encouragement and give him strength. And God, we will alone give you glory. We thank you again for the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And we thank you, God, for loving us. And we thank you, God, for keeping us close to you and forever. In Jesus' name, God, we want to praise you. We want to magnify you. And we want to say thank you, Lord, that we love you. Thank you again, God. And I ask especially that you would bless the listeners, that you would bless them in a special way, and that you would send a fresh anointing over their heart and over their life, God. In Jesus' name, that we all say together, amen, amen, and amen. And we want to say again, beloved, go in peace and know that your Lord loves you, and you are his beloved. Amen. Amen.